staying with me, turn to the 16th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16. Why don't we stand and let's read responsively. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on through the chapter. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar.
And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from marrying. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may have children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai.
And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife.
And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee.
But Abram said to Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face.
And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur.
And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction.
And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?
Wherefore the well was called the Behold, it is between Kadesh and Mered.
And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bore, Ishmael.
And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram.
Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to be able to come into your presence this morning, and we ask for your blessing. I ask that you would give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would take the Word of God and bear blessing through it to each one of us here. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us today. We want to please you. We want to honor you, glorify you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. We got into the beginning of this, and we saw the prophecy, and of course you know that in chapter 15, we have Abram becoming the father of the faithful. Not only the father of many nations, but he says by faith he was saved. He believed God when God told him these almost impossible things, and God counted it to him for salvation, for righteousness. And so he was saved by faith. And all of us, this is how big this man is. I don't think we can emphasize it enough. Abram is one of the biggest names in history. One of the biggest names in the Bible. One of the biggest names in faith. So he's a great, great, great man. And yet God shows us some weakness, some lack of faith, some character flaws. Not caring for his wife as he lets her go into a harem of a king, does it twice. And, you know, we just see some things that just shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen. Here this man who has 318 soldiers trained in his employ. That's a pretty big man. I guess They didn't have banks in those days, and if you want to protect your gold and silver you own, and your sheep and your cattle you own, you better have your own army. And he did. He was rich enough to do that. But he did not have the child that God had promised to him, and he's getting to be an old man. He's in his 80s. And that puts Sarah in her 70s. So what we have here is Sarai, who's barren, and like we mentioned last week, sometimes we have a real hard time understanding people at this time period. But in these days, women were not as valued as they are today, as they are here. And a woman's number one job was to bear a son. Just 300 or 400 years back, kings divorced their wives or killed their wives if they didn't give them a male child. So this was their number one function. Well, Sarah's a failure. So she has this maid that she got. This is what came out of Egypt. And Abram's carrying it around with him. He's carrying an Egyptian maid around with him. And no doubt she was young. And Sarai said, well, you know, I can by proxy get a baby. So she gives Hagar to Abram to be his wife, not just a servant girl around. Now she's a concubine. She's a legal wife, but of a lower status than Sarah. Well, she ends up getting pregnant. Then she says, whoa, it's not his fault. It's Sarah's fault. And so her being a young woman and she's producing a child to this man, she despises Sarah. Probably starts getting smart aleck, you know, talking back. I don't have to trust you. You're nobody. You couldn't even produce a child after all these years, you know. Well, Sarah's mad about it. And as you heard what he said, I love this. My wrong be on thee. Now, women, we'll get you today. Don't you all blame it? Blame the man? My wrong be on thee. It's always us men that do all the wrong things, right? She's the one suggests this Abraham. Abraham didn't go to her begging, oh, please give me your young, beautiful maid. Oh, please, let me have a baby some way. Do you know what Sarah's doing? She's getting in a rush. Well, you wouldn't think it, would you? She's 70 years old. She hasn't had a child. She's probably been married since she was 12, 14, something like that. And she'd never been pregnant. And yet, God had promised her a child. Well, Sarah decided to help God out. Do you do that? When God doesn't answer in the nick of time, do you help God out? Well, we got a beautiful example of helping God out. Not waiting on God, helping God by our means. You want some money, you want a job, you want a new house, you want a new car, you want all sorts of things, and you're willing to help God out. Now, you've prayed about it. You've been faithful, but you've prayed about it, and it hasn't happened. So God must be waiting on you. Do you realize what a mistake that is? That is a big mistake. God needs no help. He can do anything. He spoke the world into existence. It didn't take him but 6 days. You understand what I'm talking about? The heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, he can do what he wants, and if he decides he can do it, he can do it. And if he wants you to wait, who are you to rush him? Well, that's what Sarah did. Now, that's exactly what she did. She rushed him. And then that caused a row between her and the maid, and that caused a row between her and Abram. My wrong be on thee, Abram. Do you always blame somebody else? A lot of us do. We don't ever take the fault for all the mistakes that we've made, all the stupidity that we do. I know I'm as guilty as anybody else of stuff like that. And yet I have a guilt complex somehow. I generally think it's my fault. If I had used better sense, if I had not spoken harsh words, If I had not got in a rush, if I had a little more patience, then maybe I wouldn't be in the fix I'm in. But now that wasn't what Sarah said. She didn't say it's my fault. I got in a rush. I'm trying to help God. God didn't deliver. I don't believe God can do. I've got to help God out. No, she said, my wrong be on thee. I just laugh every time I read that statement, my wrong be on thee. And Abram said in verse 6, Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. Now, old Abram, he's a pretty cool dude. He said, hey, it's your problem. He said, nothing to me. She's your maid. Do with her the way you want to. Well, boy, Sarah said, I have got the whip now. And she went after. She's going to make her miserable. Doggone, you insult me. So, poor Hagar, she got so smart, she got disrespectful to her owner. And then the owner got mad, and Hagar is in trouble. Well, what do a lot of kids do when they get in trouble? They run off. Anybody here ever run off? I remember one time, I was probably about 14, and I went out and tried to get truckers to take me to Tennessee. Do you know there was not a trucker that obliged? I sat out on the side of that road for all afternoon in the hot sun, and nobody would take me in their cab to Tennessee. So I went home and paid attention. Isn't it amazing what we do? Have you ever been guilty of anything like that? Or are you just so upright? You're so much better than the rest of us. No. Hagar ran. Now think for this for a little minute. She gets a little bit of water and she runs. She's pregnant. She runs. Where do you go in the desert? Let me ask you this. Now you might go down to New Braunfels or up to Austin or whatever, something, you know, and get a homeless shelter because you got nothing. Don't have any money. You don't have a car. You don't have enough for a ticket. Where's she going to go? She's in the middle of the desert. The biggest thing around is Abram. All his tents, all his herds, all his men, all of his things. And she's running, and she runs until she just goes out. She doesn't have any water. She doesn't have any strength. And God finds her a well. She gets some water. And he said, what are you doing here? Well, she explains her situation. Whither wilt thou go, verse 8? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyselves under her hands. Not only can you not help God out, you can't run. You got problems you're going to have to face. Every time I married somebody, I told them, I'm marrying you for better or for worse, and I'll guarantee it's going to get worse. I've said it many times, you can't live on love. Sooner or later, somebody has to wash a dish. Somebody has to pick up the clothes off the floor. Somebody has to go to the grocery store. They're just things that have to be done. And some of us are so stinking lazy, we don't want to have that responsibility to be ours. But it is. It really is. And once you start picking up your load and helping a little bit more for the other, things will work out a whole lot smoother. Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. We don't like to submit, do we? Boy, that is a bad word. That's almost like a cuss word, isn't it? Especially for teenagers. And I tell you what, we're getting people already grown that they've never grown out of being a teenager. They are not grown. I'm got my house up for sale and contract on it and whatever, just doing its thing, getting the time, and who knows what could happen. But I've been going with Diane, and we've been visiting houses. And we visited one that was advertised for $299,000. Wow. Castle Hill. Wow. Who would think I could bid on a house in Castle Hill? And we went up to this house. It was a trash dump. That poor lady had no better sense than to invite us in to visit her trash and filth. I wouldn't take that house on a bet. I sure wouldn't give her $299,000 for it. You got to pick up things sometimes. You got to throw away things sometimes. You can't just keep storing your junk. I'm getting wise. I've given all my junk to my children. I don't want to move it anymore. The angel of the Lord found her, said, Hagar, return to thy mistress, submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. Is that true? Boy, here's a little maid girl, a little servant girl, that's got a child in her bosom. And he's saying, don't hang out in the desert by yourself. Go back till that boy gets 13. And she went back. And he said, I'm going to multiply your seed. Have you ever thought about what one seed can produce? Do any of you have gardens? One little corn kernel can produce 3,300. And then you take those and you plant all those, how much can it produce? And wow! It's an amazing thing what God can do with one seed. And he said, you're going to have a son, and I am going to multiply you tremendously. You're just a little servant girl. You were a slave. You were given to Sarah when you left Pharaoh's harem. Been with her 10 years. Now then, she's going to have a child that's going to multiply over the face of the earth? Well, you know, when I was going to college, after I got out of the Air Force, I thought the big threat was communism. Boy, I had my boys memorize verses of scripture that dealt with salvation and whatever, faith, 100, before they went to school, before they could read. Why? Why was I so intent? I was afraid of the communists. They were parked down in Cuba with bombs coming up here that could reach us. And I wanted something in their head so that if I'm dead, it would still be there. And that's what we did. I never thought about the Muslims being a problem. But bless your hearts, your biggest problem today is not communism. It's a Muslim. And how many of them are there? They're a multitude. They are a multitude. Wow. You thought you were being smart. Oh, she's my sister. Well, can we take her up to the Pharaoh's harem? Harem? My wife going into the Pharaoh's harem? That doesn't sound like a man of great faith. I mean, that's a black mark in my mind against Abram. I know he's brave. He just took 318 soldiers and conquered 5 guys, you know. And I know he's honorable because he said, I don't need anything. God's made me rich, and I don't want you thinking you made me rich. And then he says, my whole portion is God. God is what I serve. God is what I look for. God is the blessing of my life. Now, him coming back and... do you reckon this is part of the slavery or something of Egypt? Could be. Never know. Anyway, return to your mistress. Submit yourself. And he said, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. It shall not be numbered for multitude. Wow. Look over the face of the earth today. There are an awful lot of descendants of Ishmael and Hagar. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord heard thy affliction. You know what? It's a real blessing when God listens to you. I can't go. President Obama will not see me. I would never get in to see him. Hey, the Texas governor, Abbott, I couldn't even get in to see him. I'd have a hard time getting Letitia Vanderpute unless I caught her at her flag shop. But she got an audience with God. God sometimes gives you an audience. You ought to pay attention. You ought to be really, have your spiritual antenna out and say, is God speaking to me? Now, sometimes God speaks to you through circumstances. Nothing you can do about it. You just got to make a decision. This is your choice. And you make the decision and you suffer, good or bad. He tells her to go back. You're going to have a boy. Going to name him Ishmael. And your seed almost can't be numbered. Now I know physically you can just keep the numbers rolling up by just adding the zeros on. But I know what he's talking about. The Lord hath heard thy affliction. Wednesday night, we're going to gather around here for prayer. And we're going to tell the Lord our afflictions. We're going to tell some of our neighbors some of our afflictions. And we're going to ask people to pray. Do you know what? I believe God answers prayer. I believe he's answered quite a few for us. I know he's answered quite a few for me. And some of them were not nearly as quickly as I thought he ought to have answered. Have you been criticizing God because he hadn't answered you quickly? God is in no hurry. We probably shouldn't be, but I'm almost always in a hurry. I get every place early. I can't stand to be late. Verlene would make me drive around the block. You can't go into their house 5 minutes early. They invited us for 8, and they didn't invite us for 7:50, you know. Okay, drive around and look at the houses. Look at the houses. Can I go in now? Yeah, okay. So we go in. Don't get in too big a hurry. You're going to mess up if you get in too big a hurry. Okay, verse 12. Listen to this verse. Talk about prophecy. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. Wild man. Now, what does that picture up to you? Now, this is God's word. This is the description the Holy Spirit decided to use. What's he saying about this little baby unborn? He will be a wild man. His hand against every man. This guy is a fighter. This guy is tough. This guy you're going to have a hard time conquering. No matter how much bigger you think you are, how much more money, machines, guns, ammunition, whatever, look out. What do they say about the guys in Afghanistan? Well, the Russians couldn't conquer them. The United States couldn't conquer them. These are just fighters. You didn't have a way to win. All they do is live to fight. You can't win them over by building schools. You can't win them over by sending food. They don't even want your food. They're fighters. Well, that's what this guy was, Ishmael. He's one tough fella. Do you know something? Fathers are attracted to sons that are a little bit tough. They really are. Yeah. I look at one of my great grandsons there. I think, man, tackled for Texas University. Woo! He's going to be in the pros. Tear his knees up before he's 40. Wild man. Every man's hand against him. Well, that's still true today. Muslims killing Muslims. They kill Muslims more than they kill us. Isn't that true? They killed people of their own religion because they call themselves a little different name, or they come from a different grandfather, or he's still a wild man. His wild man streak has followed him all the way down through his inheritance. And an awful lot of them are still wild. Okay. And she came she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? And verse 15, Hagar bare Abram a son. Now what has Abram been wanting? He married Sarah when she was a little beautiful girl, beautiful teenager, no doubt. Back in those days, women didn't go to college and they didn't get married at 25 and 35 and 45. They got married at 15 and 16. Both my grandmothers were married before they were 16. By the time my grandmother Kincaid was 30, she had 5 children. The oldest one 11, the youngest one 2 months. Wow. She got married at 16. Well, Hagar bare Abram a son. You reckon he was happy with that son? You reckon he was happy with that son? You know he was. He has been waiting decades for his son. Now he's got his son. You think Abraham was happy? I think he was happy. Now Sarah might not have been too happy, but Hagar's happy and Abram's happy. And what kind of son is he? He's a wild man. This kid goes jumping across beds and jumping across chairs, and he'll go out and fight, and he'll go out and hunt, and he'll just, man, old Abram said, man, I got a son. God wants somebody to do his will. Boy, I've got a son. That changed me. I had 2 sons, and 2 sons changed me. That first one changed me. I looked at that little baby, and I loved him. I just don't know how anything can change as much as getting saved and then God giving you children and you've got a responsibility. Wow, I don't understand people that don't take that responsibility. It is unnatural. I think it is wicked not to take that responsibility. It changed. I couldn't think the same. I had to think not just about me, but about him. How do I train him? How do I train them? So that they don't suffer the things that can be suffered. Abraham is proud of his son. Called his name Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old. That's older than me. That's almost older than dirt. 86? Before you have your first baby? I have laughed. Dara, she had her baby at 40. 42. At 42, she had her baby. You think that kid's spoiled? Oh, he's precious. I love him to death. But man, how they have to work at trying to not spoil him. Everything is against. Abraham is 86. 86 years old, he's an old man, and he knows he's an old man. Let me tell you what, I don't want any more babies. Where I'm at, I give them to the kids. I don't want any more babies. But Abraham was 86. Do you think that he could get attached to Ishmael? Lead pipe cinch. Abraham loves Ishmael. Wow. Okay, look at chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. You know, that's a pretty good verse. He's still the Almighty God and he wants you to walk before him perfect. He hadn't changed. You say, well, that was all those thousands of years ago. Yeah, it was, but God hadn't changed. Did you know time is just irrelevant? It's so irrelevant to us. I live by time. I got clocks in every room, you know. I even The clock broke in my old car, and I went and bought one of those you stick up. Time's important to me. I try to be on time. I try to be early, whatever, you know, and I schedule myself, and time's not important to God. You say, God, you have not answered my prayer. I have waited 3 weeks. I have waited 3 months. I have waited 3 years or whatever. Time is irrelevant. It's just important to you. And who are you? You're not very important. You don't control the country. You don't even control the city. You have a hard time controlling your temper. Time is irrelevant. And so God up there comes down to visit Abraham when he's 99 years old. Okay, he was 86. Now he's almost 100. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that's a pretty good command, and it's one that all of us would do well to think about. Look at verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For I have made thee a father of many, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Wow. Abraham got a tremendous testing. And knowing us, I don't think we'd have passed it very well. We know he made a few mistakes, but look at all the years he waited. No, think about how impatient you are. Let me tell you what, just get to hurting. And you're praying to God to ease your pain. 10 minutes is a long time. 10 months is a lot longer. How about the rest of your life? Boy, I know some people that are in pain and will be for the rest of their lives. Man, I think about that. I don't hurt anywhere. I praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. It's a mercy. I'm not bragging. I'm praising. I don't hurt anywhere, and I'm so thankful. I watched Verlene go through pain for 3 solid years, day and night, 24 hours a day. And nothing we could do, nothing the doctors could do, could help her. Wow! You say, God, I've prayed, I've asked, and you haven't answered me yet. We get a little impatient. It's hard to have faith when you are in a hurry. It's hard to have faith when you are in pain. It's hard to have faith when you don't get just what you want. Do your little children throw fits when you don't give them just what they want? Oh, I see them all the time. In the grocery store, in the mall. Ah! You know, stomping. That's when they should be spanked. I don't even care if they're out in public. I know this stupid world we're in doesn't think they need it, but they need it. As for me, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Here's that promise again. Now then he has a son. He's got a son he loves. He's got a son he respects. He's got a son he's proud of. And God's saying, you're going to be the father of many nations. And I'm imagining, this is just in my imagining, I got no scripture on this. He's saying, Ishmael, Ishmael. Ishmael, my son Ishmael. But God's not saying Ishmael. That was your mistake. You got in a hurry. You messed up, Dad. Dad, you listen to your wife. You don't always listen to your wife. Adam got in trouble listening to his wife. Abram got in trouble listening to his wife. All right, wives. Watch what advice you give your husbands. My covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. He's almost 100 years old. He's got one son, 13 years old. He doesn't have a herd like I do. He doesn't have all these. I'm just 78 and I got all these grandkids and great grandkids. He doesn't have but one son. He's 100 years old. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Man, what promises. Wouldn't you like those kind of promises? Wouldn't you like God to say, this is what I'm going to do with your heritage? This is what I'm going to do with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. I'm going to make kings of them. They're going to be great people. That's what he's telling him. That's his covenant. Nations of thee and kings shall come forth out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, we get the different covenants in the Bible, and they're worth paying attention to. He tells him, not only am I your God, I'm going to be the God of your children. Well, what if your children don't like it? Tough. Well, I don't want to be a Jew. I don't want to have the promises and I don't want to have the curses. Tough. You are my people. I am your God. Whether you recognize me or not, I am your God. That's the promise to Abraham. Just as we looked at the other covenant when he was stretching out all the way from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. They've never gotten all that land yet, but they're going to get it. Why are they still Jews? They're the people of God. I know the last of the Mohicans is gone. The Jews can't do that. I don't care how much you persecute them, how much you try to kill them. You're not going to kill them off. They are an enigma in history. That they could be persecuted so many times, so many years, so many places, in so many ways, and they're still Jews. And they're around the world. Some of them don't even believe in God now. Well, there's some of them that still do. But I'll tell you what, even the ones that don't believe in God can tell you what tribe they're from. They can tell you where they came from. They're Jews. God said, I'm not only going to be your God, I'm going to be the God of your descendants. Wow. I think that's something else. I will establish, verse 7, my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting. That a significant word? Boy, when it comes to this covenant right here, I'd say that's a significant word. For an everlasting. Lasting possession, and I will be their God. So we've got an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. And I will give unto thee and thy seed the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting covenant, and I will be their God. Wow. Now you see, to me, that's such a beautiful thing because I am happy for him to be my God. Praying in a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, and God exploded into my life. And he took first place, and he wouldn't take second. He took first place. Girls, cars, and football. Oh, no, no. Now it's God, girls, cars, and football. But God's first. And did he change my life? Wow. My wife got a new husband. My kids got a new father. I got a new Lord. I got a new God. And I am so glad he's my God. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 9. God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is brought with money must needs be circumcised. and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. I don't understand what circumcision means. Nobody can see it. They don't walk around showing off the covenant. So, that being the covenant, you know, I think they ought to put a star on their head or something. That everywhere you go, you see these are the people of God, you know. No, that's a very secret thing. And the honest truth is, I've studied it for 58 years, but I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't figured it out as a covenant. But at any rate, that's what it is. And the Germans, when they were going after the Jews in Germany before World War II, they would strip them down and see if they were circumcised. Now, didn't have circumcised women, so you couldn't tell on the women, but you could tell on the men. And if a man said he wasn't a Jew and he was circumcised, he was in trouble. He was dead. He was tortured. But that's the covenant. And he's bringing this covenant between God and the descendants of Abraham, these people called the Jews. And the covenant was every man child must be circumcised in the skin of your foreskin. Now, take a look at verse 15. Oh goodness, it's almost my time. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. All right. We changed Abraham's name. We're going to change Sarah's name. She said, I've been waiting. I'm 90 years old. Wow. I've endured such pain from people saying she can't bear children. I've endured the mocking of Hagar that she said she can't bear children. And now you're going to take away my shame at 90 years old? Wow. We're going to change your name, Sarai. You're Sarah. You're Sarah. And I will bless her. I'm going to give her a son. I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. It looks like you'd pick out a little 16-year-old like Mary. You're picking out a 90-year-old woman to be the mother of nations. I think God has a sense of humor. I really do. I think some things look funny to him. Well, you say, well, I don't want him doing me that way. Well, he will anyway. You don't get away with all your pride. You're going to get humbled. I mean, he's going to work you over. He's going to see what you can endure and still believe him. He said, I don't like that. Well, let me tell you, I'm not volunteering. I don't want to see how much I can be tested. No. I read books like the Book of Martyrs, and I think, man, what some people have gone through. I don't want that. Lord, I'd like to miss that test. You know what I'm praying for? A great, big, massive heart attack. That I don't live 5 minutes. That they never get me into the hospital and stick any needles into me. And bang my heart with electricity. And I have to live in a bed and have people change my diaper again. Second childhood. But you know something? It doesn't matter what I want. I can wish all I want to. It may not change a thing. I may spend the next 5 or 6 years laying on a bed, being treated and mistreated. I don't have any choice. Did you know that? You don't either. God Almighty has a plan for you. And He wants you to accept His plan. He wants you to trust Him. Can you trust Abraham got in a rush. Sarah got in a rush. They tried to help God. Don't you try and help God. You need to trust God, not help God. God can take care of it. He does not need you. Believe me, if you don't get the job done, He's got 100 others waiting to go. Don't get all thinking you're so important. God Almighty is going to get what He wants done. And when we get to heaven, we're going to say, oh, God, your way is always good. I just didn't see that, Lord. I didn't see I was in part of this great, big, bigger plan. God thinks bigger than you and I do. I know you think you're smart. I know you think you know how to reason things out and you could really lay your plans, and if the government would just let you, you could retire rich. I know. But God isn't in a hurry. God does not need your help. And God Almighty wants you to trust Him. You know what the big thing in this Bible is? It's faith. Can you believe God? Abraham and Sarah, very great people, got in trouble because though they believed God in some things that God said to them, they didn't believe God. Or they thought God was late. God is never late. Oh, I have accused Him of being late. I said, Lord, where are you? Lord, how many times do I have to ask? Do I have to keep asking this? Yeah, you probably do. But what if God never answers? Is He still a faithful God? Of course He is. Do you realize your little bitty issues are just a real tiny part of the great big plan of a great big God who's so much smarter than us that He could create us, just speak us into existence? Wow. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are an amazing miracle. Life every day is such a great thing. And you know what? We ought to be, as Christians, we ought to be thankful and we ought to be praiseful. We shouldn't let a day go by that we don't get up and say, thank you, Lord. We shouldn't let a day go by that we don't say, you're the greatest. You're my God. I'm glad you're my God. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for walking with me. Thank you for putting up with me. I know some of you mothers that stay home with 3 or 4 kids. Good. Now, I watched Jenny with her and her 3 around, you know, trying to get them all in the car, out of the car, or pick up all the toys and whatever. And I tell her, you're going to stay thin, girl. You don't have any worry about getting fat now, I'll tell you for sure. Maybe in 10 more years you might put on a few pounds, but praise God. Well, I've had fun. I hope you did. Amen.